Podcast. Episode 1, Prototype. Hello and welcome to the Dr. Touch Podcast. My name is Oliver Drobnik. And in the beginning, I wanted to tell you why I am thinking that it's a good idea to do such a podcast. My aim is to provide a filtering and a commentary of the news that relate to being an iPhone developer and to give you kind of the gist, what's really important for you to know as being an iPhone developer or planning to become one. If you think that somehow I sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger, well, the reason for that is really simple. He's an Austrian just like myself. And it's just we have a certain accent that you simply cannot get rid of. I hope you get used to that. So I've put everything together, my trusty Tascam US-144 and my new MacBook Pro, and I also have made a couple of notes. So let's get right to it. These are the news. On November 13th, Apple introduced the new feature to iTunes Connect. This feature allows you to see when your app status has changed. You can even subscribe to it so that you get emails every time there's a change of the status. To do so, enter the Manage User sections of iTunes Connect, click on Edit Profile, and then select the notifications you want to receive status updates for. They also introduced the new status, Waiting for Review. This now shows you that you have submitted your app, but the review has not started yet. Usually, during these 2 weeks that an approval process takes in general, about the first week is spent waiting. So the real review process itself is maybe 2 or 3 days in total. And now with this status, you will be able to tell when they have started and will give you an idea how soon to expect the next status, the coveted approval for the App Store. At the same time, the release date info in iTunes was changed to show the date of the last update. People were gaming the release date to make the apps appear as new so that they get more visibility for them, hoping for more sales. Prior to this new feature, developers had reported that changing the availability date in ITC did no longer cause the apps to appear as new. There was some outrage over that. So, as of now, the only way to really get this extra visibility is to do frequent updates for your apps. Changes made to iTunes Connect broke report downloading apps that would use static form field names. One example, My App Sales. A fix is available for this as of version 1.0.12. AppViz was not affected, probably because it had slightly more robust scraping code than My App Sales. If you're in some way scraping data from iTunes, you're now required to also present an agent string. Previously, that was not necessary. That's probably a measure to reduce traffic from scrapers who were too lazy up until now to set this string. Instead of working on making scrapers' lives harder, Apple should instead provide proper Web 3.0 APIs so that we could get this information in a, quote, legal way. iPhone developer Bryce Millon, who wanted to sell his iPhone business, i.e. the source code for 87 apps, for $100,000, failed to find a bidder on the eBay auction. You remember I did an analysis where the outcome was that I did not really like the deal. I considered it to be a really maintenance headache. And I also gave the seller an opportunity to respond to my questions, which he did. Earlier today, I asked him what happened. He told me he still has an interested person who would be not giving him cash, but would make him a stock-based offer. So he would get shares of this guy's company in exchange for the source code for his apps. And obviously also the income. Apple has released an update to the drivers needed to run Windows in Bootcamp. Now the new Magic Mouse and latest generation wireless keyboard are supported as well. Although it's still only XP and Vista. Officially, Windows 7 is still not supported. But as I previously found out on my own MacBook Pro, you are able to hack the installer so that it also works to install the Vista drivers on Windows 7. And the audio driver that comes with the Bootcamp CD also works on my latest generation MacBook Pro. Also, there are new printer drivers for HP, Canon, Lexmark, and Brother printers. I'll be happy to try out the HP ones, though I don't know what they really attempt to fix. I think they just generally make those printers work better on Snow Leopard. A word on the Apple tablet. I predicted that we won't see one before summer 2010, based on the information that Apple is working to unify the operating system for Macs and iPhones to something dubbed Core OS. And with the current release cycle of one version per year, this will be the next logical time for release. Latest rumors also claim that the release slipped from March to projected late summer, due to high prices of OLED displays. There's supposed to be about $1,000 priced TFT version and one that would cost nearly twice as much with an OLED display. Now, OLED is a beautiful technology if you have ever seen one compared to a TFT. But the question is, would you really spend twice as much for a tablet just to get an OLED display? Or would you spend $1,000 and be happy that you actually finally got one of these rumored devices. Kudos to Joel Comm, who made a funny video directly addressing Steve Jobs in a YouTube video. With way more than 100,000 apps on the store, Apple seems to no longer permit just about any feature-free app. Joel made an app with a button that makes a sound like a cash register when you push it. So it's like ka-ching. To remind you, Joel is also the maker of iFart Mobile, which is one of the best-selling fart apps on the store. But we can all agree that it doesn't really have that much of a feature set. It's more like the amusement factor. And now it seems that Apple is enforcing their ban on feature-free apps. If they have too few features, they will now seriously reject those. So if you want to be on the store, you have to offer something more than just a button with a sound effect attached to it. Also, Apple is cracking down heavily on the use of undocumented APIs, now more severely than ever before. For the longest time, we thought that you could get away with some undocumented APIs if you would shoulder the risk yourself. Apple says that apps using undocumented features will break by updates to the operating system. Amongst the APIs that we see rejections for currently are CoverFlow, UI device set orientation, UI alert view add text field with value, getting the user's phone number via SP formatted phone number, which is very naughty in itself. Set allows any HTTPS certificate, and also deprecated APIs are unwanted. For example, date with calendar format, which is an old Cocoa API. So we hope Apple continues to work on making more of these unfinished APIs stable enough to take them public eventually. Apple is holding tech talks throughout the world, 4 places in the United States, 3 in Europe and 2 in Asia. Having a daylight full-time job, I was not able to fly to any of the European ones, Especially because Apple chose to do the closest one to me in an obscure location in Germany, Hamburg, you know, the namesake of meatballs in burgers. So that's not a good place to put a Central European tech talk, in my opinion. Should have done it in Vienna instead. And if you were able to attend one of these, you certainly have a leg up over me. Though attendees report that the content is similar to the WWDC videos. Speaking of which, I purchased those from Apple a while ago for hundreds of dollars. So it kind of annoys me that there are people who openly tweet the availability of these videos on file sharing sites. Well, I guess I'm just too honest. And finally, a pro tip. I've seen App Review expediting working on several occasions now. For example, the app H1N1 Swine Flu Defender, which I wrote under contract, got expedited by the review team. We sent it in at the beginning of October, and at the middle of October, there was rumored to be a major outbreak of H1N1. So Paul Chung, the owner of this app, wrote to Apple, and he got it through in time. So it was in the store before the middle of October, in front of the swine flu pandemic that never happened. So if you have an app which you submit too close to a time-critical release date, it does not hurt to write a friendly email to appreview@apple.com and ask to be prioritized. The same is true for urgent fixes. Okay, that's the news. Next, I'll tell you about the My App Sales User App Showcase. About 250 people use My App Sales worldwide that I know of. I asked them who would like for his app to be showcased. I got 10 submissions for episode 1. So I'm still collecting testimonials for the next installment. If you want to participate, please send me the following items related to the one app of yours that you consider your crowning achievement so far. I need one paragraph describing your app, one line outlining why this is the best app you have to offer, one line why you like My App Sales, and 100 by 100 pixels photo of yours, no avatars or anonymized images. The idea is to show our symbiotic relationship. You get to show off your work to several thousand visitors to the Dr. Touch blog, and I get one line testimonials about My App Sales. So we both win. About the Dr. Touch blog, speaking of which, here are some numbers you might be interested in when considering to advertise on it, guest author an article, or otherwise cooperate with me. In the last month, I had 11,000 visits, according to Google Analytics. That's about 400 visits per day. My top landing pages are, according to page views in the last month, the front page, 2,377, anti-crack product page, 1,871, and the My App Sales product page, 1,664. The most interesting content, according to the people clicking through on Google searches, were code signing problems. I made a good guide for that. It's 1,997 people watching that, or reading that actually, more precisely. And the runner-up was State of the Art in Cracking Apps, 352. I just started this blog 8 months ago, parallel to my personal blog, which I'm writing in German. So I think that's pretty successful. And on top of that, I've got, last count, 1,088 followers on Twitter. One reason might be that I also pruned the number of people I'm following to a manageable level of about 300. So I'm only following people who have something interesting to say about Cocoa development and similar topics. So if you're interested in getting your message out, contact me via email and we'll see what is the best method. And of course, I'm also interested in sponsorship across multiple media. My app tip of the week. Of the apps I downloaded recently, the most impressive to me was Red Laser. When I first tried it out, on the barcode of a book, I was astonished by the speed at which the price listings appeared. Cost $2 and was well worth the money, at least for the fun I'm having with that, scanning all the barcodes of books that I can get my hands on. You get a list of books on several sites, amongst those Amazon, and sometimes Google product search also finds something. And while there could be more features to do something useful with the code, the thing that's really astonishing about this app is the speed at which it's able to scan UPCs and EIN product codes. Finally, about contacting me, I would like to invite your feedback on this prototypical episode of the Dr. Touch podcast. You can drop me an email to oliver@drobnik.com. You also find the information about all the things that I talked about in the show notes. And if you send me a question that can only be answered in Xcode, then I will make a Q&A article for my blog. Otherwise, you can also express your appreciation for the show by sending a small donation to PayPal, oliver@drobnik.com. And that's it for today. Best wishes and keep on coding.